What is life like? There's a Christian rapper named Lecrae, and he says that life is like an elevator, a lot of ups and downs, people pushing your buttons, getting jerked around. I mean, think about it. Life is like an elevator. You have a lot of ups and downs, and yes, people pushing your buttons many times. Many of us can say amen to that because we've been there. Now, there's another individual that if he was asked, what is life like? Forrest Gump would say, or my mama always say, life is like a box of chocolate. You never know what you're going to get. And you know, for some of us love chocolate, you know that some of us like to go and see, which one is this? It's like, you don't know which one you're getting until you taste it. Life can be like a box of chocolate. You never know what you're going to get. Now, sometimes people wonder why God allows certain things to happen to us. I mean, we all go through storms, whether you're a good person or a bad person. The fact that you live on this world, you are not exempt from bad things happening to you. The thing that would make the difference is how we deal with the storms when they, but you know, you need to know they're going to come. Jesus said it. Jesus said in this world, first he said, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you have a lot of trouble or tribulations. And then he said, but don't lose heart. I have overcome the world. Some translations said, trouble is coming, but I have overcome the world. So in this world you have tribulation, you have trouble. But Jesus promises that those who believe in him will also overcome. So you see, it's nothing new to understand this idea that yes, the fact that because you live in this world, in a fallen world, we are going to have troubles and tribulations. Trials are coming. But Jesus said, be courageous because he's the overcomer. Now Peter, the Apostle Peter wrote a letter to Christians that were being persecuted. And when we talk about persecution, I don't think the American might understand this idea of Christian being persecuted. Now, maybe in China and India, they do understand it because Christians have to go undercover. They have to hide because people are hunting them down. Just like in the first century, it's like your faith can cost you your life. It's like, what do you believe? You believe in Jesus, and they will kill you right there. I mean, yes, people might reject you today, but we have no idea what persecution is. So Peter writes a letter to Christians, and then it's interesting because he said to them, don't be surprised when you go through trials. You know, it's almost like, you're surprised? Don't be. It reminds me, Mark Gunger, the author of Laughing Your Way into a Better Marriage, he provides a lot of counseling for couples. He said that one time a lady came to him and said, Pastor. And then he said, what's going on? He says, I have trouble in my marriage. And then he goes, oh yeah, that's common. You know, don't be surprised. Yeah, it's going to happen. I mean, even the Bible says that because, you know, two lives coming together, you're going to have conflict. So trouble is coming. What you're going to do about it? So Peter writes to the Christians and he said these words, do not be surprised at the painful trials that you're suffering as though something strange were happening to you. Are you listening to this? It's almost like, are you serious, Peter? I mean, don't be surprised at the painful trials as if something strange were happening to you. In other words, there's nothing strange about it. Yes, it's gonna happen. And then he said these crazy words, but rejoice. I mean, how many of us really can rejoice when we go through severe trials, when you cannot pay the bills or, you know, your car breaks down and, you know, and you have issues? I mean, then he said, but rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. 1 Peter 4:12 through 13. Peter said, going through trials is normal. So we're experiencing something normal that anybody who lives on earth will experience, trials and tribulations. So don't be surprised when it's happening to you. Now, what you and I need to understand, this idea of God still has a plan and purpose with whatever it is you're going through. The problem that you and I have is like we would like to know his plan. You know, when we go through the storm, it'd be nice to know how long is this pandemic going to last? How long, Lord? You know, because we deal with patience sometimes, you know. And so what we want to talk about this morning, according to the half-brother of Jesus, James, because he writes to other Christians that were scattered all through the Roman Empire, he writes to them this idea of don't panic too much because God still has a plan and purpose. And God's word for you today. Whatever it is you're going through, and I have no idea what it is, let me give you the word from the Lord. He's not done with you yet. He still has a plan. You might not know what the plan is, but just hear his word this morning. James, if you got your Bibles with you, James is after Hebrews, chapter 1. We're going to be looking at the text, verses 1 through 4. If you find it, say amen. And you're there with me, James 1. This is what James says. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes in the dispersion. And then he says, greetings. And then he goes, he said, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness or perseverance or endurance. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, he says, whenever you face trials of all kinds. Now, a lot of people misinterpret that. It's like James not saying that you have to just be happy when bad things happen to you. You know that's ridiculous. We're never going to be happy when bad things happen to us. But when you look at the context, he's talking about because of what the trials will produce in you, that's going to bring a reason for you and I to rejoice. Count it all joy, he said, my brothers, whenever you're faced with trials of all kinds, because... Then he goes on to explain what he meant by that. See, God still has a plan and purpose in allowing us, allowing you and I to go through trials and tribulation. And James says, one of the things when you and I are going through trials, this is what's happening to you. This is what's happening to your faith. According to James, your faith is getting tested. He says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you're faced with trials of all kinds, because the testing of your faith develops steadfastness, perseverance, endurance. So when you're going through a trial, and now you and I need to understand this, whatever, you don't have to have faith in Jesus. Whatever it is that you believe, everybody believes in something, by the way. Everybody has a worldview. A worldview means it's the platform upon which you stand to make sense of the world. Everybody has a perspective, if you will. So whatever perspective you have, it will be tested. So the trials, that's the test. They come, and now sometimes people might change their perspective because of the test, and sometimes they just don't know what to do. So he says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, talking to Christians, whenever you face trials, because your faith is being tested. Whatever you claim to believe is going to be tested. Now, none of us that being students like tests. But how will people know that you know the subject unless you're tested? How can we trust you on the wheel of a car unless you pass certain tests? Now, it can be a trial for many people, you know what I mean? Now, I know here in Staten Island, I wonder how people pass the driving test, but, you know, that's neither here nor there, but it's a test. You go through that. So, the first thing to consider is your faith. And, you know, faith is... The beliefs, that from our beliefs, we have convictions. Like I said, whatever you and I believe is going to be tested, and that's what the trials. Trials, when I say trials, I mean the storms, problems, difficulties that you have. It's to test truly what you believe. So we that claim to believe in Jesus, you know, and we also, the Bible says he is good. So, you know, how conflicting we get, like, Lord, you're good, but why is this happening to me? Why me? Many of us ask that question all the time, you know, and it's like, Lord, you are silent. If you have asked that question, let me tell you, you're not alone. The Israelites, God's chosen people, ask the same question. He said, Lord, why don't you care about our problems? We're going through all these things, slavery, and you remain silent. And the Lord had to send our prophet Isaiah to talk to them. But you see, we all have asked that question. Hardships, trials, storms, whatever it is you go through, they come to test your belief, your faith. But then he goes, James talks about, that's why you got to count it a pure joy when you are faced with trials, because your faith is going through a test. It's almost like it's going to be evaluated. And what happens is that, you know, it's going to be through the trials that you're going to know whether your faith is good, is strong or weak. There was a man named Thomas Manton, a Puritan preacher. And then he said this thing. Now look at the years that he was born when he died. I mean, even they had trials over there. He said, while all things are quiet and comfortable, we live by sense rather than faith. But the worth of a soldier is never known in time of peace. You never see a soldier being decorated because he never went to a war, do you? It's after they have fought the fight and they stood the test, and now it's like, here's your medal. Because so as a soldier, if you use the analogy, we're all in this, but you don't know how strong you are as a soldier. You don't know when this trial comes, so you're going to just be coward and run away, or you're going to stand and fight. So yes, when everything is quiet, you know, it's easy to say that you have faith when everything about your life goes well. But how about when the trial and the storm hits? Are you still going to say, yes, I believe in you, Lord, no matter what? I'm still going to prove my worth as a soldier. So remember, trials will come to test your faith. It is in difficult times that you get to know how genuine, how true your faith truly is. 1 Peter 1:7, he says that these trials will show that your faith is genuine. It has been tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring so much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. That was the New Living Translation. I love that rendition because it's like, yes, the analogy, the imagery here is that faith is like metal, gold that's go through a fire. You know, fire will purify gold. And so your faith, when you go through that, is for a purification. You know, it's almost like God's taking you through his workshop to develop some kind of strength in you through the trials that otherwise you and I would not develop it. You know, sitting in church, let's say all the time, it's like, well, life is good. And you know, everything's going well in your family. You don't know how strong your faith is until you go through a storm. It's like, And now you have to really depend totally on God many times. So your faith is to be proven genuine by going through those trials. So you see God's plan and purpose in allowing us to go through trials, so to test our faith. If you go through the Bible, how many people claim to have faith like Abraham? And God gave him tests. Remember when Abraham, the Lord asked Abraham, that son who you love given to me. And Abraham just got up in the morning. And then Abraham, in the Judaism, all the Jewish people, he's the founding father of that faith. Because, you know, he was called the friend of God. Like, he trusted God so much. Even when he was 75 and God told him, I'm going to give you a son. And he was like, man, now that I'm so old. And he was, okay. You know, but his faith, through that, even though God made a promise, there were so many tests that he had to overcome. Remember Gideon? He was about to go against an army of 10,000. And so he thought he needed so many people. And God said, no, you only need 300 people. That doesn't make sense. But I always define faith as doing exactly what God tells you to do, even if it doesn't meet logic, even if it doesn't make sense. You say, God, I don't understand. Logistically speaking, it doesn't make sense, but because you asked me to do it, I'm going to go ahead and do it. It's through a test, through the testing of your faith, that you're going to develop perseverance, steadfastness, endurance. You will not know how strong you are until you go through the test. And guess what's going to happen through those trials? After you pass the test, it makes you stronger. It prepares you for the next one because another one is going to come. But it's preparing you, creating endurance in you. That's why God allowed those things to happen to us. And you see all through the apostles, all through the Bible, how he allowed certain things. I mean, you remember the book of Job? I mean, he really had to, even his own wife told him, curse God and die, man. What are you waiting for? And Job was still like remaining steadfast, waiting on God. And I pray that we can do the same. Because, you know, sometimes we just panic. Like, Lord, and then we blame God. And it's like, why? If you're so good, why are you doing that to me? And we don't realize he's still there. He's sovereign. He knows what you're going through. He can sympathize with our own struggles and weaknesses. But he still has a plan. And you're still alive today, regardless of what you go through in this life. My word, God's word to you is, he's not done with you. Even when it's painful, even when you feel hopeless, helpless, God is not done. Watch, the God we worship, he can create beautiful things out of nothing. The universe was void, empty, and then he made a beautiful universe. And you know, he makes diamond out of sand. And you feel like you're sand right now, or dirt, in the hands of God, you're valuable. He's going to do amazing things through you, whatever. I mean, sometimes you feel like, man, defeated. And so God said, hey, your faith is being tested right now. Whatever you claim to believe is being tested, but that's going to develop you into endurance and perseverance. The outcome of your faith, the outcome of a test of faith, the testing of your faith produces endurance. And then perseverance, endurance is going to bring you into maturity. So what James is saying, that eventually God is developing growth in you and I. You know for a fact that many of us, whether you are preaching, whether you were born in the church or not, we all have areas in our lives that we still need God to come and chisel certain things out. I know I do. You know what I mean? Like, and so God will use certain things just like he would take me to his workshop to develop me more into maybe to be a better husband or a better father for my kids or a better man for society. Like, God's still working on me because he wants to develop me into the man that he knows I can become. And the same thing he does for you and I. And he will use those trials. You know, whatever we learn in church, we learn a lot of lessons. Where's the application? Storms, trials. Like, you know, well, I learned that God is good. It's like, it doesn't feel like it right now. And, you know, it's like, and then God's testing. And you know, but again, the testing is refining you, just like fire and gold. Somebody asked a silversmith, he was working with gold and metal. He said, you know, fire can destroy the metal. He said, how do you know? You know, I mean, you work in the metal and, you know, you want to purify, but how do you know when the metal is ready? The guy said, well, if I take the metal out too early, it's not going to accomplish anything. But if I leave it there too long, it will melt it. But how do you know it's ready? The silversmith said, when I see my image in the metal, I know it's ready. God does the same. When he sees his image in you, they say, well, you developed, now you passed that test. Now you're more seasoned. Now you're more mature. Now you're growing. You're ready. But don't be celebrating too early, because it means you're ready for the next one. I mean, what Jesus meant when he said, in this world you're going to have trouble. As long as we live, we're going to have trouble. But how do we go through those troubles? How do we go through the trials and issues that we're going to encounter? James is giving us something, you know, hey, my faith is being tested because God is taking me through his gym so that I develop spiritual muscles for the next level, to take me to the next level. You cannot be a seasoned Christian if you have not gone through tests and trials in this life. And you know, we can spend all day, if you were given the opportunity to talk about when you seen, like, man, that you thought this is it. All through our lives, we have stories, trials, tribulation, and you know, and for many of us, we see the evidence of God right there. He got us out and made us stronger for the next one. There's a man named Andy Alcorn. He said, without obstacle, we can't build strength, whether in physical or spiritual realm. Translation, no pain, no gain. You know how many people, they want to get in shape, but they don't want to do the work. I mean, it's easy just to get a pill and this, you know, and then when you have gone to the gym the first time after you being off for a while, you know how sore you become? That's good. You know, imagine, like, you know, it means that you were working out those muscles and then you got to keep it going because, you know, otherwise you're wasting your time and your money. You know, people join the gym and they go and but again, what's the problem? It's dedication. It's like, man, you know, because it's hard. But you will not develop, you know, yourself and your strength, whatever, or get in shape unless you go through the training, rigorous training. It's the same thing. God's taking you through his gym so that you and I develop strength, endurance, stamina, spiritual muscle that's going to help us for the next level. You know, when the other trials come, it's like we'll be able to manage them better because we already been training right here. And that's the same aspect that we have. Paul uses the analogy of an athlete many times. No pain, no gain. So, like I said, God is testing you and I. He's taking us through his gym. And now we got to just do the work. He's not going to do the work for you. Otherwise, I mean, you know, you're not... You had to do it. You had to. The faith is being tested so that you develop endurance and perseverance, so that you will grow stronger for the next thing that might happen tomorrow. We don't even know. Tomorrow is never promised. That's why James says, consider it pure joy, brothers. Not because you're going through the storm, but because what the storm will produce in you. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you are faced with trials of all kinds, because the testing of your faith develops or produces perseverance. Perseverance must finish its mark, or must have its full effect, until you are complete, lacking in nothing, until you're more mature. That's why he said rejoice, because God is just working on you. You know, and I think every time we go through something, you and I have to ask the question, okay, Lord, what is it that I haven't learned yet that you still, you know, I'm going. Sometimes I wonder why people go through the same trials. And if you have, like, the same one, the same thing is always happening over and over again. And you know what it is sometimes? Because you haven't learned that lesson yet. And he's just taking you there. When you learn it, he will move you to the next level. But until you learn, it's like still there. You're stuck. Like, man. God is developing you and I into seasoned, mature men and women, Christians. And he uses trials, storms, tribulation to do that. James 1:12, he said, Blessed is the man. Now, it's interesting. When you look at the word blessed, it's a word for happy. Happy is the man. You know, Jesus used the Beatitudes in Matthew 5. Blessed are you when people persecute you. Happy are you when people persecute you and insult you. Really? Are you serious right now? But that's what the word blessed, happy, blessed means happy. So happy is the man. Happy is the person who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. So after you have passed the test, you're rewarded. Just like you pass that, people that have a career, you had to have gone through a lot of tests, and you passed them, and now here's your degree. And now you're going to work with people, they're going to test your patience over there, and then, you know, they might say you're the employee of the month because you did better than everybody else in that test, more tests. I would tell people, be careful when you have trouble loving people, because God will bring people to your life that are hard to love. So you put in practice love. And you wonder, Lord, why is it that I always have to be around those people? That, man, it's hard. You know, they're always testing my patience. And the Lord said, yes. You know, so when people say pray for patience, don't pray for patience. Because the Bible says patience is one of the fruit of the Spirit. So you have God's Spirit with you. Patience is in you. Now, how do you and I develop it? Trials. God will bring hard, difficult people to deal with so you and I learn to be patient. You know, sometimes when you go on the road, my wife can tell you, I lose the patience very quickly when I see crazy drivers. I wish everybody drive like me, apparently. You know, but you know, I lose the patience one time I almost wanted to chase this guy around, and then she said, just let it go. But again, it's like, now I'm getting better. This is what I think about. Well, they're driving without Jesus. That's how people without Jesus drive. So I gotta be an example. You know, so, but you know what I mean? Like, you go through that, and it's like, people are going to test you. Life is like an elevator, ups and downs, people pushing your buttons and getting jerked around. And then what are you going to do? It's like, think about, oh, that's happening because God's developing me. He's developing something in me that, so that I be more patient, more loving towards people. That I serve people without an agenda. You know, so he's working in me, and he's working in you. How? Through the things that he allows us to go through in this life. Happy is a man, happy is a person who endures, perseveres under trials, because when you have stood the test, then he will reward you. But you know, it's hard to persevere, remain steadfast under attacks, if you do not know that God has a plan. The Bible is already saying to us, trials are coming, expect them. They're not going anywhere. It'd be nice to have a world without trials and storms. That's what Jesus promises, by the way. In the book of Revelation, he talks about no more mourning, no more pain, no more death even. Be nice when that time comes. But in the meantime, as long as we live here, we're going to go through trials and tribulations. But how do you manage them? How do you go? Just think about it. They're going to come. Expect. If you're already expecting, you're already winning the bat already. Yeah, it's happening. It's common. Trials. Even with my own family, I'm going to have issues. Yep, it's happening. My faith is being tested. That's the other thing. So the Lord wants me to learn something that I have not yet learned. And that's why this thing is happening to me right now. So God is taking you to his workshop to develop character, to grow you and I into a more seasoned individual for his glory and his glory alone, to the point that later on people are going to be asking you, well, how do you handle that, man? I don't know. If I were you, I'd be like... And it's like, because now you operate by a different standard. God has already been working on you, and now maybe he needs to work on that person because they don't understand how you can be so calm, so cool, when everybody else is attacking you. And it's like, if it was me, man. And it's like, now you know that the Lord is going to bring some trials to that person to develop him or her into the person that he wants us to become. That we be more like Jesus in how we handle that. Trials are God's tool that he utilizes to help you and I grow into maturity. They're going to come to so you and I develop Christian stamina, endurance, perseverance, because we're going to need that. As long as we live on this earth, we're going to need strength, perseverance. This is the reason that you and I can rejoice, in fact, in the fact that God makes something out of the storms and trials that we go through in this life. God's creating something beautiful that you and I don't have any idea. But eventually, you get to see it. So don't give up too soon yet. Or don't give up ever, because God is not done with you. If you're still alive here, regardless of the pain that you're going through, he's working on you. And yes, I know that maybe the prayer you say, God, how long? Hey, how long is this trial? He's taking you through his workshop, develop you. So God's working out with you right there. So you develop spiritual muscles to take you to the next level. So you see, trials in God's workshop are beneficial for us. Believe me, we all have gone through that. It's like, it doesn't feel beneficial when you go through that storm. But it's like after you have overcome, and you know what, the storm happens, those trials, they become testimony. And now you tell the people, yeah, I've been there before. And the Lord got me out, and people want to know how you overcame. And say, well, you know what, I had a friend one time, he told me on the phone, he says, because he was going through a storm, he says, how do you deal with people when they stab you in the back? Legitimately. And I said, You know how you develop it? You know, that's a great question, brother. I said, we all been there before. You know how I've been learning how to deal with people when, you know, they just talk trash behind you, but, you know, the Jesus way. You know, one of the reasons I never wanted to be a preacher, because I grew up a preacher's kid, and I saw what my dad had to go through, and I said, heck no. I said, I don't want to deal with that. And later on, it's like, now I understand, like, it doesn't bother me. It's like the Lord allowed me to be a preacher, knowing that, yes, things are going to happen. But my brother, I told him, eventually your faith's going to grow strong, that whatever people say is not going to even make you lose your sleep. You're going to continue, you know, because it's going to happen. But he wanted to know, because he was going, I mean, people at his work were doing that to him. He's like, how do you deal with people like that? I said, I've been learning in my own life to deal with the Jesus way. And I think that's what Jesus does through the trials, that so that we develop our character, that we develop our endurance to be more like him. So that when the trials come, he said, it's coming, be brave. Face him courageously, because I have overcome the world. And if Jesus overcame the world, and we do believe in Jesus, then that means you and I also will overcome him. This faith that we have is going to be tested. And God will use those tests to purify your faith so that people know that you genuinely believe the Lord, and that your faith is not waving back and forth, because it's steadfast, it's strong, it's firm. So trials in God's gym are beneficial for you and I. So are you going through trials right now? My word for you is persevere. Don't give up, because God is not done with you yet. Watch him make something beautiful out of that mess that you're in right now. Somebody said, no wonder they call him the Messiah. Maybe you and I are in a mess. The Messiah will come and help you. Watch him do something beautiful, beneficial for you and I, out of that mess. I can tell you a story of my own life. You know, many of you know I never wanted to be a preacher. You know, and like how God had to take me and almost like humble me to a, you know, one time owing so much money I did not even know how to pay. And people would come to me like, the Lord's going to take care of that. And I said like, yeah, but I want to see the money. I mean, yeah, how's the Lord going to? And I had to learn through those trials. And now my wife can tell you, like, when it comes to money or anything, like, I don't even worry because I've been there many times. And how the Lord, time after time, always took care of me. But, you know, I had to learn it through those trials to be where I am to be where I am today. And so you and I will be the same. So they're not bad. They're not a bad thing when you go through the trials. They're not bad because God will do something through you. He's developing you and I to be better, seasoned, mature believers. May the Lord bless you this morning. Let's pray. Father, we thank you.